All right, we're in Romans 6, so we're going to look at verses 6 and 7 this morning. Taking our time going through this important meat section of the book of Romans. Those verses read like this, Romans 6, 6 and 7. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. You've probably seen NBC's The More You Know public service announcements. They began airing back in 1989 as an attempt to raise public awareness about important issues. So they'll have a celebrity come out and talk about some important issue, AIDS awareness or whatever it might be, anti-smoking, something that they feel is important. Especially for young people, but not necessarily for young people. And I didn't know they'd been around that long. You know, I thought they were fairly recent. But 1989, you're going on quite a lot of years that those things have been a part of the fabric of our society. Well, Romans 6 reads like a More You Know campaign because Paul keeps using the words know or knowing. And he seems to be telling us that the more we know about ourselves in Christ, then the better off we're going to be. So knowing this, he says in verse 6, it's an appeal to know something that is already true, that's already a spiritual fact. There's nothing to do, just something to realize or to understand or to know. And this whole section is real interesting because maybe you guys get it real easily, but I step away and I think, how does that all really work? And it's not something that I think I can totally get a handle on, but it's just Paul saying this is what is true about you because you are a Christian. And so he wants us to know something. And we're to know or realize, he says, that our old man was crucified with Jesus. The word old isn't the normal word for chronological age. It's instead a word that refers to something being worn out or useless or more in context, used of something that has been destroyed. But who is this destroyed old man, and how did he get that way? Well, we need to stop, or I'd like to stop, and make a distinction between the old man and the flesh. The old man in Scripture seems to have to do with our natural birth. It's what we are at birth. We're descended from Adam, and so we inherit what he passed on. Adam sinned. And we know that when he sinned, he died, because God said, in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. So he died. And that means he began to die physically. It means he did die spiritually. There was a broken relationship between him and God. You see that as they hid from God. And he would have gone on to die eternally separated from God. Had he died in his sins without God's help, he would have been separated from God in hell. So the Lord stepped in and promised to come and save Adam and his descendants, told them eventually that they would need to be born again, and then they would receive a new and living spirit. They would still die physically, but would be resurrected one day to live in glorified bodies forever in heaven. And so we are born with a dead spirit and a sin nature. That's who we are as human beings. Little Levi Judah, who was just born to the Kelsos. Dead spirit, sin nature. Sin is also imputed to him. It's in his heavenly account. He inherits a sin nature from Adam, and he will commit individual acts of sin. In fact, he's committing them now, just selfishly wanting his needs met. And so the natural state and standing of a human being is what is meant by the old man. It's just what it means to be human. So what is the flesh? That's really a little bit harder to define, and commentators are all over the map. It was interesting. You would think that you could just go to any Christian resource and get a definition of the flesh. The flesh is not my sin nature that I was born with. It's distinguished from that. And I know that because Paul distinguishes between my sin nature and my flesh in this passage. And the flesh isn't the physical body itself. Sometimes the Bible uses the word flesh to talk about our physical body, but here we're talking about something else. The flesh The physical body has its needs, but they are somewhat neutral. You know, the physical body itself isn't an evil thing. It just exists and needs to be under control. And so the flesh in Scripture that I'm talking about is something I find at work within my physical body. It is a tendency or an inclination or an impulse to use my physical body in sinful ways. And the flesh has been expertly trained in sinful habits by at least two sources. First, the world, in its spirit of rebellion against God, trains the flesh. You know, everything, a lot of stuff that's going on in our world today is trying to appeal to the flesh to use my body in sinful ways. It's as easy as that. And then second, we know that the devil tempts our flesh. The old man that I'm born with, my old sin nature, gives in to the flesh. Some of us give in to a greater or lesser degree, but we all, as spiritually dead individuals with a sin nature, yield to the flesh. And there's something we need to know then about this old man. Paul says he was crucified, which means he's now dead. And so we talked about this last time. From God's perspective, I am identified with Jesus Christ. When Jesus was crucified, God says, I was crucified with him. And I don't, trying to get a handle on that is difficult. But Paul just says, hey, this is a spiritual fact. And because it's true, because God looks at you now and sees you as crucified with Christ, then he can say, your old man, your old nature is dead. It's inoperative. Because my old man was crucified with Jesus and is dead, it says the body of sin might be done away. Now, I think in this passage, the body of sin is the flesh. It's that principle I find at work on my physical body impelling me to sin. The word might here doesn't mean maybe, that maybe it'll be done away because of this. It's really stating a fact. He's saying you've been crucified, therefore the body of sin has been done away. And right now we're just kind of building what the text actually says so that we can make the application. And really, at this point, done away is the key phrase. It means to render inoperative. It's a word used to describe making something ineffective by removing its power or its control. So, if my old man is dead, then it doesn't need to respond to any impulses or inclinations from the flesh. When I know or realize or understand the spiritual fact that my old man was crucified with Jesus, it removes the power of control from the flesh. It's this knowledge that short-circuits my impulses and inclinations to yield to those things entrenched in my physical body. And so, kind of the picture we're getting here is that if you're a Christian, you had this old nature. Let me put it this way. A lot of times as Christians, we talk about the old nature and the new nature warring against each other. And again, this is crazy kind of, I can't really get a handle on it as far as commentators, because they're, some say, yeah, there's the old nature, you still have it, there's the new nature in Christ, they war with each other. I think it's more accurate to say that, no, you have something left over in you from your natural birth, and that is the flesh, this principle, these inclination, these impulses to use the physical body for evil. Because Paul says the old man, the old nature is dead. It's been crucified. It doesn't. And so it's kind of dangerous to think of the old man as being alive when the Lord says he's dead. Some people say, well, that's just mincing words. What's the difference if you call it the sin nature or the flesh? It amounts to the same thing. And maybe that's true. But the idea here is that when, as I think of this, I had this old sin nature. Now I have a new divine nature within me. This old nature is dead, so these impulses from my flesh, when they are sent out seeking this old nature, they find a dead man, and a dead man can't really respond to that kind of stimulation. And so philosophically, I can step back and say, oh, I don't have to do that. I don't have to respond. I have this crazy desire in my flesh to use my body in a sinful way. But on the cross, Jesus died and I died with him, so I don't have to use my body in that way anymore. And it's really profound. I mean, it's a profound kind of understanding that Paul is bringing us to. And it's you say, well, how does that work? And he says, well, you just need to know that. You know, if you're sitting in heaven with God and he says, hey, your old nature is dead. It's not that it's reduced or it's overwhelmed. I mean, it's dead. And it'd be like, you know, tempting a dead man to do something. It's hard to do. Yeah. And so it's kind of a neat picture, really. It's like, so whenever I'm enticed to sin, when the world tries to appeal to my flesh, and it does, when the devil tries to appear to my flesh, when I'm just falling back into those same thought patterns and habits, I can think, hey, wait a minute, I don't have to do that because there's been a break in those impulses. I don't need to sin. My old man is dead. Now, until my physical body is redeemed at the resurrection or the rapture, I'm going to struggle with the flesh because it remains part of me. It is unchangeably evil, but my knowledge of the crucifixion of my old man cuts the power cord. And so Paul is able to say, thus, we should no longer be slaves of sin. I need no longer yield my physical body over to the control of the flesh. It's not a matter of feelings, but of the fact that I have been crucified with Jesus Christ. And I think this is where we lose the battle, because we feel like sinning. You know, our because the flesh is still there, we feel like sinning, and that's why we need this passage of Scripture where Paul says, well, yeah, but you don't have to, because the appeal is going out to a dead man. There's been a break in the power, you know, and so nothing can happen unless you want it to. So we're no longer slaves of sin. I don't have to yield my physical body over to the control of the flesh. I do. We'll deal with that later on in Romans 6, 7, and 8, but I don't have to. And so this is the point of victory for the Christian, is to realize this. More and more we're losing this in contemporary Christianity because so much is being blamed on other factors. You know, hey, you're a Christian, that's great, but you can't help yourself. You were raised wrong, you've got this or that addiction. Now, I think that there are addiction, there are chemical, there are physical addictions. And once you get into that realm, then you've got some real you need some additional help, probably, you know, because there's just certain things that happen in your body. I mean, the whole cigarette thing that went on decades ago, where they proved that they make cigarettes addicting so that you have to have them. You know, if they were just smoking tobacco, it'd be great, but you're smoking poison and stuff, and so something happens to your physical body that it begins to crave that. So that, I understand that, but the majority of people aren't into an addiction. They're just into a habit, and they need this teaching that, hey, your old man is dead. You don't have to yield to sin anymore. That's what the Bible says. And when you do, God is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and you get back up. But more and more we're kind of taking the sense of responsibility away from people. We're not telling them that they can have victory over sin unless they go through hours and months and years of counseling and all of these other things. Paul is saying, hey, this is true of you right now, and you just need to believe it. You know, this is who you are as a Christian. You're not plugged into the old man anymore. And so, you know, your flesh is powerful and strong. It'll never be any weaker, but it doesn't need to engage, you know. If I knew more about cars, I should let Ron take over. It reminds me of a clutch, you know. I mean, the engine's got a lot of power, but if there's no clutch, you're not going anywhere. And so, you know, that connection has been broken. So then Paul says, for he who has died has been freed from sin. This introduces a second metaphor. He suggests that the flesh is a master that impels me to sin. Previously, before I'm a Christian, my flesh uses my body in sinful ways. Some of us more than others. You know, people aren't as sinful as they can be. Some people are. I mean, Charles Manson is. Most people aren't because of other constraints of society and things like that. But all of us are sinners and fall short of the glory of God, and we use our bodies in selfish ways and in sinful ways. Death freed a slave from his master's control. That's pretty obvious. So if you want your cooking slave to come in and prepare your breakfast and he died overnight, you're going to be hungry that morning, you know, because he's just, no matter how much you yell at him, he's not going to be able to cook for you. You could bark all kinds of orders, but the slave could no longer respond. In the 1960 film Spartacus, Kirk Douglas played the escaped slave who led a brief but widespread slave rebellion in ancient Rome. At one point in the movie, Spartacus says this, "Death is the only freedom a slave knows. That's why he's not afraid of it." And so that's the idea. You know, we don't live in a slave-oriented culture anymore. And so that's the idea that once a slave is dead, then he's free from his master's influence. And so Paul says, as a result of what I'm talking about, you being crucified with Christ and this your flesh being rendered inoperative, it's like a slave being set free from the power of his master because he died. Now, this isn't to say that the Christian is perfect or that we don't sin, but that sin has ceased to have mastery over me as a master ceases to have power over a slave when he is dead. So why do we still sin? Well, we're going to see more of that as we go on in Romans, but it's because we voluntarily yield ourselves back to the power of the flesh. Just because we don't have to sin doesn't mean we don't. The flesh is still active. And, let's look at verses 12 and 13 just to read them for that. It says, "Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." And so what Paul is saying is, hey, if you allow the flesh to be influenced by the world and the devil, the flesh will still exert a powerful pull on your physical body towards sin. So you don't have that master anymore because you're dead to him, but you can still obey him if you want, because these are, you know, illustrations. We're not physically dead. We're, you know, this is more of a spiritual kind of a concept. So, and the thing I want to emphasize this morning that's really important, Paul was not telling you to do anything. You know, as Christians, we always want to know what to do. How do I beat this habit? What five things do I do to, you know, to not sin, or 12 or whatever it is? Paul doesn't tell you to do anything. He wants you to know something. He says you need to know you've been crucified with Jesus, and then you can apply the benefits of being a dead man to sin. And what's interesting about this, commentators point out, and it's true, you can't do anything to crucify yourself. Hard as you try, you're going to fall short of, even if you could somehow pin yourself to the cross, you can't get up on it. You know, I mean, it's just really hard to crucify yourself. Crucifixion is a form of execution always accomplished by others. So this is not something you accomplish day by day through discipline or denial. We're not talking about the discipline of the Christian life here. We're talking about the understanding that my old man is dead. My corrupt nature is dead. It was crucified with Christ. And so therefore, when my flesh, whatever that is, whatever principle that is, whatever power that is, whatever inclination that is, some people talk about it as something almost imprinted on you, that, you know, a kind of a way of living that is earthly and evil. Whatever that is, it can't engage with my physical body unless I let it, because that part of me has died. And so I can always, unless I really am addicted to something, physically addicted to something, and I need some kind of chemical, organic help, I can always say no to the flesh because there is no connection between that and my old man. My old man is crucified. And I like something that Martin Lloyd-Jones said years ago. He's probably not the first to say it, but he said, how does the Christian life really work? You know, how do you get this victory? And he says one of the things that David seemed to do in the Psalms was that he would preach to himself. You see David almost as a schizophrenic, you know, in the Psalms, where he says, "My soul said to my soul, don't do this or do that or whatever." And I think this is one of those passages where you step back and say, okay, time out, separate from my life and what I'm going through, I don't have to sin. So then when I get back into my life and I'm tempted to sin, I step out and I say, oh, this is a temptation to sin. My flesh wants to use my body in these ways, but I don't have to do that anymore because I've been crucified with Christ. So nanny, nanny, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and obey the Lord and walk in that newness of life that Paul's going to talk about later on. And so the thing really just to know is just something to know. The more you know about being dead in Christ, not something we accomplish, not a daily discipline. It's a daily understanding that this happened already, and therefore I can at least walk in victory. If I don't, then I need to figure out, well, where am I not disciplining myself? What don't I understand? What do I need to remove from my life or get away from? That's a whole nother subject in our sanctification, but it's all based on the fact that I can do that because this connection has been broken.